Hello, everybody. Welcome to VSpeak's podcast, Think Out Loud, where our goal is to have conversations with heart and soul. And there isn't anybody better that I could be sitting next to than Lori Hood, my friend and founder of Aliqua Animal Refuge. My name is Lisa Burwell. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of V Magazine, hence V Speaks, and we are going to have a great conversation. Lori, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lisa, and I feel exactly the same way about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So let's get to the, let's cut to the chase here. So you've been doing and fundraising for Aliqua. It's been your mission, your vision for 13 years. You've been able to successfully build something and continue on various phases. And then we were all met with the worldwide pandemic. Tell the audience where you are now, your recent fundraiser, Rescue Me, that you just had 10 days ago, and how hard it is to keep it going and continue the fundraising effort in a world that is upside down.
Well, honestly, it's not easy. And as soon as this epidemic hit, and as soon as I realized the severity of it all, you know, we went into major just freak out mode, basically trying to figure out not only how to reinvent the wheel of having a rescue and continuing to save the animals, which doesn't stop, the need of doesn't stop for that. But with a refuge that, you know, operates with, you know, minimal staff, 400 active volunteers, you know, closing to the public, closing to the volunteers, relying on the kindness of donations and grants that, you know, all of a sudden got super competitive for every nonprofit in the country, you know, trying to figure out how to stay afloat. And, you know, everything in one ball, it was very stressful. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that hit and we started trying to figure out how we were going to do all of that, you know, just took it one issue at a time, prayed about it, sat on it, slept on it, you know, the next day instead of doing adoptions where people would come in and meet the animals, we're doing virtual adoptions. We're doing curbside service. We're put out the plea to volunteers to please foster an animal instead of coming in to care for them. You know, and that stuff started falling into place as best it could. But then the money stops coming in and, you know, people are scared they're going to lose their jobs, which they did. Right. You know, we're in an area that's, there's no big corporations here, as you all know. It's a beach town, basically, and we're at the mercy of, you know, the people that are making their money from our tourist industry. And, you know, that stops. So then our made fundraiser was canceled due to the pandemic, and a second one was canceled. And this is what we rely on for our operations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very stressful. Mm-hmm. So immediately came into thinking, well, everyone's going virtual. Maybe I'll do it a virtual event, and started putting together in my head what that looked like. And Rescue Me was born, and it was a lot of work. A lot of work.
You did a fabulous job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
You as host, you're so telegenic, and obviously your heart, you know, just shines through the camera as well, like how genuine of a person that you are and how hard it is to keep going. But you did it with such grace and elegance, and I know it was really hard to do. Sidebar on the fun stuff, or like tell the audience about the celebs that you were able to get to be on this 1 hour live telecast. It was pretty impressive.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, Alden and Emeril Lagasse are friends, and they agreed to be live from their kitchen with their precious children and the animals that some came from Aliqua. So there was no better fit than that. You know, Brian Kelly and Brittany Kelly are new to our community, and they are two of the kindest souls I think I've ever met.
Oh, yeah. Florida Georgia Line and
Tribe Kelly.
And Tribe Kelly, yeah.
And so they agreed to do something. And then we had an event last year called Animore, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. Singer-songwriters that came in and put together an event. So we had Billy Dawson and John Knight and Eric Lindell, and they all agreed to be on. And then we really stretched out our tentacles and, you know, reached for other people. And, you know, Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live, I mean, he's just amazing. Yeah. And he's the voice of the Clifford the Big Red Dog coming up. So that was a good fit.
That's exciting.
And then John O'Hurley from Seinfeld, you know, he was Peterman on
Jay
Seinfeld.
Peterman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a huge animal lover out in California, and we've never even met, but he did this for me.
That's awesome.
And, you know, he's the host of the Purina National Dog Show, and, you know, so his voice and his kind words, I mean, I could watch it over and over. It was just, it was surreal, and it was amazing that all these people came together just out of the kindness
yes,
of their hearts.
It was so well done, very well done. You had told me a story that I didn't know until just today where Zoom crashed about a couple of hours before you were going to go live. I mean, how much stress were you under with after all the work you did and lining up all these people all over the place? What was that like?
Well, we had these very kind producers that worked on a Nat Geo show, and, you know, they were temporarily on furlough, so they assisted me and even drove in from all over the country to help. And I could sense that they were very stressed, which was not normal. And I was just nervous and stressed, and I found out that Zoom had crashed internationally just hours before we were supposed to go live. So we said a prayer before we went on, and I didn't know at the time that that's why they were so stressed out, but they didn't know if we were going to go live or not.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it worked, and, you know,
Thank
God.
Always comes through.
Yeah.
Always comes through for us. So tell us about what kind of money you raised. I know that it's an ongoing fundraiser. And so, hey, guys out there, you know, we're having a real conversation here and we're going to give you a lot more behind the scenes. But the reality is a nonprofit organization that's taking care of animals in a no-kill shelter needs funds, needs money, you know, to keep going, now it being in its 13th year. And then this big move and building a whole new facility on the 80 acres that was donated to you, too. So be generous, think, and really, really think not once but twice about donating to Lori's organization. It's an awesome organization, and she has a great heart. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you raised and what you need, you know, on a monthly basis, because it's a fierce amount of money.
It is. And, you know, I feel almost bad that that's almost all I talk about, because it is, it's so hard. And, you know, it's $150,000 a month to operate, $150,000, and it's only donations, you know, and if you can't have fundraisers, you know, then the donations aren't coming through. So I find myself, I'm an event planner, I'm a speaker, I'm a, you know, I have to make tough decisions. It's just so many hats, and, you know, it's hard, but I'm the primary fundraiser, and, you know, I have to ask a lot, and I find that I've never been good at that until I started my own organization, and I think I can ask without the guilt, really, because I know where it's going, and I know what would happen if we weren't here.
Right.
It would be catastrophic. Mm-hmm. I just cannot imagine what would happen to these creatures in our area if there was no Aliquot.
Well, you know, your love of animals, and so many people love animals too. And, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, that, and you have such a heart for them. I mean, it's like, I mean, I say this endearingly and lovingly, you're like the real life Dr. Doolittle. I mean, like, really. And you care for them and you're their voice. But what I've watched in people, and I've heard you say it too, is that the animals are nurturing and healing people. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. It's the animals, and God, you know, loves creatures big and small, and it's awesome. But when I see the byproduct of, like, that animals teach us how to love, and maybe we forgot how to do that along the way because life is tough and it can kick you and keep you down. So talk about the reciprocalness of what you're doing.
Well, you know, of course, I understood that from, you know, even at a young age, what animals could give back to people. And there's nothing better on a bad day than laying down in the middle of a group of puppies. I mean, literally nothing better. But, you know, I noticed that, you know, we have the largest volunteer network on the Emerald Coast, 400 active volunteers, which means they've been active within the last 3 months.
It's amazing.
And, you know, a lot of them come out and I ask them what brought them there. They all love animals. You know, we all knew this was the answer. But when you dig a little deeper, you find out that, you know, this lady's here because she just lost her husband, or their child's committed suicide, or they're dying of cancer themselves. I mean, some really horrific things that have happened to these individuals, and they find their peace and they find their healing for their souls with these animals at the refuge. And they become the medicine that, you know, you can't prescribe. I mean, it's just something that's so healing about these animals, and it's not only just animals, but it's these particular ones. I mean, they have come from the worst places. Like I've even said it, some of these cases I've worked lately are literally hell on earth. Mm. And, you know, just this past week, a couple of weeks back, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, I was called to a place in Alabama because there's no animal control, there's no animal shelter, there's nothing, you know, they shoot the animals if they, you know, they can't find a place for them. And it was just a horrific situation. Man had, anyway, left, you know, it was just bad. They were eating one another. It was horrific. Mm-hmm. And the only way that the law enforcement could get them out was to spray these poor animals with pepper spray. I mean, they had been through hell. And this one big dog, we named him Lieutenant Dan because it was, we named him all Forrest Gump names. We have three themes to our rescues. Oh. And he was the kindest. I mean, you could see it in his soul. And I didn't know he had been sprayed with pepper spray. And, you know, I go from washing my hair to some days, you know, just, I mean, I'm literally covered in poop, you know, and I'm at this place and I'm covered in poop and there's flies and there's bugs and there's, you know, pepper spray on these animals. And I touched it to my face and, you know, the burning was, and this dog is still kind. Yeah. And we all loved him. And, you know, just 2 days ago, this couple came through and it was this, they had their special needs son and he was looking for a therapy dog for him. And this little soul, he was 7 or 8 years old. And what he wanted to do with his life was to have a best friend therapy dog and take it to visit sick children.
Oh my gosh.
And I get chilled all over just thinking about this. And I leaned down and I introduced him to Lieutenant Dan and he got eye to eye and he gave him a kiss. I mean, you just can't even control the tears. And so after all these animals have gone through and, you know,
they can still give.
They can still give. Mm-hmm. And the people watch them come in half dead and they have nothing left in their eyes, no life left. And then you see the life come back and it gives people hope because they think if this animal can come back from what just happened to it, maybe I can too.
Yes.
And it's just, I'm just covered up and down with chills. It's just, it's, you know, you're doing the right thing and you know, it's something bigger than just an animal shelter.
Yes.
It
so
is
much bigger.
So much bigger.
And like, but like you and I have talked too, when you're the leader, when you're the visionary and basically there's a lot of responsibility on you, how do you basically weather that? Because I know you and I have talked about the various ups and downs of having a business or just life in general. When you're trying to live out your passion, your dream, and what you feel is your calling on the earth, how do you get through times like these?
Well, I mean, we can just get real because it's not easy. And not easy is an understatement, I think. You know, people see you and, you know, you're the spokesperson or you're the face and, you know, they think you live this glorious life because you get to play with puppies all day, you know, and some people think bad about you for that. You know,
right.
They resent you or they say the haters are out there, which is so true. And
right.
It's so hurtful because nobody sees the other side. And, you know, nobody sees that I was at the refuge last night at 9 o'clock checking in a pregnant dog that was scared of everybody. You know, it's just... it's nonstop. It's nonstop.
Relentless.
And so it's just a lot. And you can't stop. And, you know, I think you and I talked about this earlier. People come in, they stay a while, they decide they want to go do something else. And, you know, you invest in people thinking that your vision is theirs, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting and it's very challenging being the person that it's yours and it's your vision and you know what you have to do.
Right.
Because you have to do it. There's
right.
not another choice.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you and I've talked about our faith and how without it, we couldn't do anything that we've really done. And I have had such immense faith for a long time. I would have to say the pandemic threw me for a little loop. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of saying, you know, where are we going, God? Like, I'm hanging on for dear life here. And I can only imagine that you've had a few days like that yourself.
And they don't stop because I gave everything, everything that I had, I threw into this last fundraiser. You know, that was all I had in my back pocket, you know, and I don't know what's in the other back pocket, but it hasn't shown itself yet.
Well, it will. But yeah, I know I can feel it. I mean, I could see how hard you were working, and I'm, you know, sort of like compassionately putting myself in your shoes because I've got my own mountains that I've had to climb too, but you've got a pretty big mountain there that you're climbing, but it's going to work out. You know, we've got through a lot of things in the past, and you know, you've got the support of so many people in the community, and you know, like you said, what you're doing is like it's real, but like it is, they are challenging times, and there's no roadmap for where we're going, where a lot of people are going. So you just have to really surrender.
You do,
which is really hard to do.
It's really hard.
And you just really have to not sort of have faith, but you just have to have total faith because, like, the shifting sands are underneath foot, and you just have to, you know, hope and pray that everything works out, you know, which I have all the confidence in the world it will, but it's good to, you know, be each other's cheerleaders, and everybody needs, you know, cheerleaders in this world, and people that are at the top too, like you and all that. Like, you know, sometimes people think, you know, you all have it figured out and you have, you know, the strength of Hercules. And mostly since I've known you, you have had Herculean strength. But like we said, it's hard.
It really is. And I think I laugh sometimes because I'm totally winging it.
Oh yeah. I'm always winging it too. I mean, I really am. It's, interesting. Well, to the audience out there, I just want to give you a little bit of background about, you know, Lori's founded her organization, Aliquot Animal Refuge, 13 years ago. And she's been a beautiful V cover girl twice. And then we've had featured numerous articles in the magazine as well. So we've got to know each other and spend time at Aliquot, which were like some of me and the team's favorite photo shoots that we ever got to do, because we'd be with you and we'd be with all the animals on like a 10-hour photo shoot. Sometimes it was really, really hot. Like the last one was like 110 degrees.
It really was.
With you posing with your
wolf dog.
Yeah. Which is beautiful. So let's just tell the audience a little bit about how you very first founded Aliquot too. Let's go back to the beginning.
Well, I moved out to Freeport, which was the country at the time. You know, there's a lot of development now, but long story short, I found out that our county was without an animal shelter, 5 counties around us without animal shelters, you know, multiple counties around that maybe had animal control, but no shelter to take them to. So they were bringing them to a facility that was a holding facility, not open to the public, 100% euthanasia. So when you're looking at euthanasia rates across the country, you know, 100% in such a vast area is just unheard of. You know, it's just, you just don't hear of that. And I'm talking about everything from puppies to Yorkies to purebred, you know, animals. And it's, I just found out about it, and you couldn't, once I knew it, I couldn't not do something. And so I started the refuge, and that was about 20,000 animals ago.
Wow.
That we've adopted out, but, you know, tens of thousands more we've helped, and, you know, immediately saw that animal cruelty was going unchecked. All these same counties had never prosecuted one time an animal cruelty case. So I started working on that, and now I'm a special investigator with the Sheriff's Department just so I can go in and work these cases.
Right.
And, you know, we were on a call this morning, the first Zoom prosecution call that they've had for animal cruelty.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
How far you've taken this, and what kind of need there was,
yeah,
too.
And the need never stops. And so, you know, part of my vision is to empower other places and other people to do what I do, because I wish somebody had held my hand. I wish there was a, you know, somebody had helped me figure it out from the beginning. So I think part of my calling is to bring in, you know, people that want to start something like I'm doing in all or part. And there's a lot of the human therapy programs, like our equine interaction program, where, you know, right now we work with handicapped individuals and autistic children and you know, substance abuse groups, but we're going into PTSD patients, and we've even are in negotiations right now to be the first organization that helps human trafficking victims.
Uh-huh.
And so, like I said, again, it's just, there's so much that we have to do, because the animals need it and these people
and
need
the people
it.
People do too. Yeah. So amazing. Lori, so you were just telling me about, you had a very interesting Zoom call yesterday, which I must know all about, and so does everybody else. You were on a call with the White House yesterday?
I was.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was asked to be on an advisory committee for animal welfare, and, you know, it's so interesting, the politics. I've never enjoyed politics, but somehow I'm immersed in it. And, you know, it's all about, you know, if you're the president, say, you know, you don't know everything. People assume you know everything. But you, whether you're president or congressman or whoever you may be in office, you know, you rely on communication from peers. And so I've somehow established myself with a group of peers that is the top animal welfare experts in different areas. And so it's all about just trying to, you know, gain support from political individuals that have the power to make the change needed for, you know, for animals to be treated fairly and for their safety. So it was very interesting. It was a very small group of people. Hopefully I'll be on more of those, but it's quite an honor.
Very impressive. Amazing. You astound me at every turn. So you've helped animals of varied species. You were in Tallahassee. You've been lobbying. You've changed laws. You've been so successful as an advocate of animals' welfare in person and then politically, as you were saying. So this year, who are you? Which animal species are you advocating, and what is on your radar in 2020 to help animals?
Well, all of them always, but you know, I've noticed that through my journey that, you know, a lot of people have love for animals, but wild animals are somehow either left out or they don't share the same passion for those animals. And I think it's because, you know, you've met a dog or a cat, you've held a dog or a cat, you've loved them in your lifetime. But wild animals are just out there, you know, and they deserve to be, you know, treated humanely as well. And so part of my new facility is going to be an educational facility for wild species, native species to Florida, and introducing people to those animals. But the Florida black bear is one of those. And you know, they were on the endangered list for many years, and they were taken off. And there was a horrific hunt several years back, and lactating females were killed, and their cubs were left in the wild. And, you know, it's a trophy hunt situation. You don't eat a black bear. It's just, you know, for the thrill of the kill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really bothers me. I can understand why if you want to hunt your food and you want to eat your food, but to just kill just for the thrill of killing is something that really bothers me. So I'm making it my mission through another organization that I'm affiliated with. I'm the Florida State Director for Animal Wellness Action out of D.C., and I've decided that that's going to be my main focus with their organization and that lobbying effort.
Fantastic. And you're the person for the job. So we're just about getting ready to close out our series here with you, Lori. If you can, in the last couple of minutes, just tell the audience about what you're doing on the 80 acres, the facility that you're going to have there, and just get everybody jazzed about it so that they can help support you.
Well, thank you. It's actually 100 acres.
Okay. 100.
And we are going to build the first of its kind animal welfare theme park, for lack of a better term. I want to focus on our high tourist area to bring in people who otherwise would not have the opportunity to learn about animal welfare in a very positive manner. So we're going to do the same thing we're doing now, adoption and rescue and rehabilitation, but in a way that's almost like a zoological center where you want to come and spend your days and, you know, bring your children and pet a cow or whatever it may be and have all sorts of sustainability factors involved, where farmers markets and kids' birthday parties and music concerts and, you know, women's wellness weekends and all sorts of things that feed the soul, along with, you know, capitalizing on what we were talking about earlier. You know, the animals really do heal people. So, you know, bringing in meditation and, you know, healthy eating and goat yoga, you know, whatever, you know, we can do to introduce that
the
piece
connection
to people. And they want to come spend their day there when you have a day off. That's my goal.
I can't wait to go. And what is the estimated completion date of your new
facility? Well, we were on target of having phase one by the end of the year. And I've decided that I'm doing it.
Good.
Whether we're ready or not, we're just going to go ahead and try to move. And so hopefully by December, we'll be in some sort of operating mode out there. And it's 10 times the size, so we can't go wrong with that.
Exciting. So exciting. And do you want to give some web addresses or of how people can donate to Rescue Me or Aliqua in any other form so that we can get some participation from our listeners?
Sure. That would be amazing. So our website is www.aliqua.org, and all of the information about Rescue Me is on there, as well as our capital campaign.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you have been a delight, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Such an honor.
All right. So I hope everybody out there enjoyed hearing Lori's story. I don't know a person that could not be moved by her story. And thank you. And also tune into VSpeaks, Think Out Loud, in the future. And I hope you enjoyed eavesdropping on our very real conversation that we had today. For now, we'll bid adieu. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Lisa.